Titans and Chiefs throughout today. No guests lined up today. Straight reaction. 615-737-1045, our number. With Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Paul Kuharsky will land at BNA around 10:15, and he'll be headed straight here. The Titans will have media availability later this afternoon at 1:15. The locker room will have their chance to react as they clean out their lockers and head home for the offseason. And Mike Vrabel has the season-ending press conference this afternoon at 2:30, which you'll hear live right here on 104.5 The Zone and 3HL. Ryan Mudd in for the chairman of the board, David Reed. Chad, it was disappointing, but yesterday the better team won because the better team had the best player.
There was no mistake about it in this game. And it's disappointing for Titans fans, but the Chiefs were the better team, and you nailed it, Hutton. They have a transcendent player at quarterback. And Patrick Mahomes, some of the things he's able to do over the course of a game like this, any game, but when you put him in a big game like this and the throws he was able to make, the 60-yard strike to Sammy Watkins where he's rolling right and puts it on a dime. There's one play, and I think they may have gained 2 yards on it, but one of the more impressive throws I've ever seen. I think it was Logan Ryan came free on a blitz. The ball is snapped low. He fields it like a ground ball. As Logan Ryan's coming right in his face on a free blitz or whoever it was, no one there. He's getting hit in the lower body. His feet are off the ground, and he's able to throw a dart to a guy on a screen pass and still get it there. Just things like that you see over and over again. And I feel good for those Chiefs fans. 50 years. I mean, over 50 years to get back to that point. And that is having been up there now, that is a diehard NFL market.
That's great.
And that is a diehard fan base, very collegiate in their support of the Chiefs. I feel good for that Chiefs fan base. And if you're a Titans fan today, it's disappointing. You missed the opportunity to have 2 weeks where you're the focal point of the sports world, and I do mean world, and that part of it's disappointing, but you cannot be disappointed about this run with this Titans team. And you also should not be disappointed about the future of this Titans team and the way things look now. And there was a lot of reaction from players after the game about, hey, it's not a group that's done a ton of winning and that knew what it was like to win at this level in January in the playoffs. Now they know. And I think that makes the hunger to get back to that point even more so, but just the knowledge of how to go about doing it, I think, is big for this Titans organization. So it was a great run for them.
Yeah, and also the knowledge that, you know, next year's not guaranteed because they knew how tough it was in the path that they took this year to get to the AFC Championship game. But it was no fluke what they did towards the end of the season to get into the postseason and to pull off the run that they did. The one area that was very surprising, because sitting there watching the second, third, fourth quarters, the feeling was, from my view, Kansas City's, they're taking this game. And the reason was they almost got into a make-it-take-it situation with Kansas City. The Titans had a great plan, and their plan was working for about 26 minutes of that first half. And then in the final 4 minutes, the Chiefs go get 2 touchdowns. The biggest drive was after the first touchdown where they get within 3. The Chiefs get within 3, and then the Titans punt it back, and then Mahomes has the long touchdown run down the sideline, which was just phenomenal.
It was the back-breaking play. I mean, you're going to point to the one that put them up 35-17 on the long bomb on the 3rd-and-6 play. To me, the game was over on that run. The whole drive, when they punt it back to them, and I thought it was smart to run the clock and get it to the 2-minute warning and give Mahomes as little time as possible. But when that clock is ticking down, all I'm thinking is just hold them to a field goal. A field goal is such a big win at this point. You knew they were going to move the ball, right? In that last 2 minutes, you knew they were going to put themselves in position to score. Just don't give up the touchdown. And when Mahomes broke that long run, to me, that's where the game ended. The whole complexion of everything changed at that point.
Well, it's interesting,
and up until that point, though, Hutton, it was going according to script for the Titans. The 2 separate 10-point leads, it was going exactly the way they wanted.
They drive and get points, albeit a field goal, but they get points on the opening possession, then get a 3-and-out. And that's really the last time that they truly stopped Patrick Mahomes, because his receivers dropped some passes on some third downs, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, that allowed Tennessee to get off the field and put their offense back on. But you're right. The formula worked early, and then they got away from Derrick Henry. Henry was going for the first two drives, and the play action was working. And the Chiefs won the battle up front on both lines of scrimmage. That's where it started. 615-737-1045, our number as we react to the AFC Championship game, Chiefs 35, Titans 24, and there will be plenty of time to reflect on the season. We're starting the show by reflecting on the actual game. Speed was deadly in this, and yep. It wasn't just one or two players. The Chiefs were just the faster team in all areas.
And the Titans looked like a team that had gone through a couple of very tough physical games leading up to this on the road. They looked tired. They looked slow. They looked tired.
I think they looked slow because the Chiefs were so fast. I don't think they looked tired through the first 24 minutes of the game.
Well, Rashawn Evans was hurt. And Rashawn Evans is making that tackle on Mahomes at 100%.
Well, he's been battling the foot injury for a couple of weeks.
But I'm watching that play, and I'm thinking, this looks like a guy who could barely stand on that foot.
He left the field twice. Mahomes. Yeah, he left the field twice, and he was on the injury report with the foot last week. But, yeah, I mean, the aspect of the speed for KC and the fact that when you look at what the Titans did earlier in the regular season against Kansas City, they had all three phases contributing. They had the turnover. Defense got a touchdown in that game. They had the blocked field goal attempt for the tie. Kansas City had some special teams miscues. None of that happened yesterday. It wasn't the turnovers or the blocked kick. This was just the Chiefs being the better team, and they're on to Super Bowl 54.
Well, and you got the feeling that the way it went down the first time, and we talked about this all of last week, you could not go into this game expecting that type of performance from the Chiefs again. They weren't going to make that many mistakes again. You weren't going to have the huge turnover. The Titans needed that big turnover. They needed to force something. They needed to get something in that game that completely swung things, and they were unable to do it. Credit the Chiefs also for not making the big mistake. Phone lines are open. Let's react to Titans Chiefs from yesterday.
You know, I felt like beyond just the game plan itself, I did feel like there were points in that first half where it was going like it was in the regular season, because they had a couple of penalties. The third and five that gave them a first down on the encroachment from the defense, the pass interference call, the dropped interception upon review that led to a touchdown, the pass interference call, automatic first down at the 10. They then throw the touchdown to Dennis Kelly off of that big penalty. So the Chiefs made some early mistakes, but rallying from 10 points down twice to then take a lead going into halftime, props to them. They played
well.
They're
just so good offensively. When I'm talking about the big mistake, I'm talking about a defensive score or something that completely swings it.
Yeah.
Is what they had. That's what the Titans had to get in order to go up there and win the game, and they were unable to do it. 615-737-1045. We're going to take a ton of phone calls today. Paul Kuharsky will be with us probably by 11 a.m. His flight lands at 10:15. Your phone calls reacting, the Titans go down to Kansas City, 35-24. 615-737-1045.
A huge thank you to Brentwood Hearing Center for providing our coverage for the Midday 180 whenever we were in Kansas City and throughout the playoff run. Brentwood Hearing Center, with they're doctors of audiology, they're ready to improve your quality of life by addressing your hearing care needs. They're online at BrentwoodHearingCenter.com. And thank you to Farm Bureau Health Plans for providing all of the Titans radio coverage here on 104.5 The Zone, protecting Tennesseans since 1947, online at FBHP.com. Lines are loaded, rapid-fire phones today on the Midday 180, 104.5 The Zone.
If you have IRS...
You do every day, every week on the radio, bringing us the Titans news, and just my hat goes off to you guys. And I just want to let you know, hey, I'm a proud fan of my Tennessee Titans. Hey, we're just one. We got another year coming up, and I just want to ask you guys briefly. Like I said, the fan base is great. We're almost there. We're going to get there. What do we need? Well, we saw yesterday, Kansas City has a lot of speed. We need to address that issue, and the defense, I noticed there was a lot of man-to-man coverage going on with our Titans. But anyway, gentlemen, what do we need? Do we need another running back maybe to possibly complement Derrick Henry? I know we're close. I'm going to hang up. Great job of what you do every week. But what do the Titans need to get on that level, and let's win a Super Bowl next year?
Luther, thank you for the call and the kind words. We were fortunate to be able to make the run with the team in some way in our coverage on the road. And again, that's credit to this station and our great partners and our great listeners like yourself for supporting it.
On that real quick, Hutton,
yep.
Saturday night was terrific. For everyone who made the trip up there and they were with us at Johnny's Tavern, that was incredible to see the sea of two-tone blue in that place.
Unforgettable night.
And we've talked a lot about this fan base and what they are and what they aren't and what Nissan Stadium looks like at times. That gave me a lot of energy for the future of this franchise to see that many people make the trek up north to frigid Kansas City to go to that game and to be there on Saturday night with that road rally was an awesome scene. Now, to what the Titans need in terms of looking at Kansas City and comparing the Titans aren't close to Kansas City because they're completely different. There's no Patrick Mahomes on this roster. They don't have anywhere close to the speed of the wide receiving core of Kansas City, but there are different ways to build a team and to go about doing it. The other team on the other side of the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers, classic example of that, built completely differently than Kansas City. So the way the Titans got to that game is a different blueprint than what you're seeing with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. So if you're just comparing it to, okay, this is the champion of the AFC, how do you get there? Do you replicate what they're doing? I don't think the Titans have to replicate what the Chiefs are doing. They can just get better at what they're doing and be the AFC champion at some point.
Well, compare it to what the Chiefs did last year. Chiefs lost in the AFC championship game in overtime to New England. And they were on a mission to get back.
Yep.
And they did. They were trailed 24-0. They earned the first round bye. They trailed 24-0 out of the gate, then came back to win that game 51. They put up 51 through three quarters against Houston. And then they trailed by 10 twice in the first half and still take a lead going into halftime. But what they added were these small pieces. And you can say, well, maybe they're not that small, but they added some pass rush ability. They brought in Tyrann Mathieu, who was a great leader for that locker room defensively. They bolstered that side of the football. And their offense stayed healthy and came together. It's such a strong team when you watch them play. And the Titans are close. There's a reason why we're saying, yeah, good to great. It was achieved this year because they know they're close. Luther brought up pieces in thinking about it briefly last night. If you bring back Tannehill and Henry, then I would say pass rush and corner would be the two I would point to on the biggest needs list for me. Now, what we don't know is Conklin at right tackle. There are a lot of free agents on this roster right now, at least 19 that you can list or that I could list right now, and probably more changes to come on top of that. Roster will look different no matter how much you want it to look the same. It's going to look a lot different with some turnover options. But the two big pieces with Tannehill and Henry, if they're back, you feel pretty good about the direction the offense is headed in with Arthur Smith and the different pieces, the young pieces to the overall puzzle.
To me, it's pass rush. I think it's pretty glaring, and that is the top thing that they need to add. You mentioned the pieces that the Chiefs added, Hutton, and that's what sort of got them over the hump. We talked good to great. This team certainly went from good to great. Now do what the Chiefs have done and go great to great again. They were great a year ago. They got to the AFC Championship game. They lose in overtime, and they remain great this year, and now they're going to the Super Bowl. So how do you become one of those teams? And look, the Chiefs have been good ever since Andy Reid took over. A lot of playoff appearances, but they now got over the hump to get to the Super Bowl. The Titans, they were the consistent 9-7 team right there at the beginning of the playoffs or one step below not making the playoffs. Now you're a team that you got to the Final Four. You got to the AFC Championship game. So the key now is add a couple things and stay in that great mix in the AFC next year. That is the challenge. And sometimes that can be even more difficult than going from good to great. Is once you get to great, the way the Titans did in this postseason run, staying there. And that's the challenge now.
Well, the formula for the Titans with Tannehill is not 31 pass attempts. That's what it took because they trailed late and they had to get back in it. But, you know, in looking at what the 49ers have done this postseason, and looking at what Tannehill did down the 10 games that he started, I always say down the stretch, but the 10 games he started, the best performances were the performances where he's completing somewhere between 19 to 24 passes. And sometimes those are all the attempts he had, you know, 19 to 24 attempts, and he's completing 16 or 17 of those. Jimmy Garoppolo against Minnesota was 11 of 19 for 131 yards. And yesterday, he attempted 8 passes, and the 49ers go into the Super Bowl. He was 6 of 8 passing in the game, and they won 37 to 20 over Green Bay because they had the run game going. And yesterday, the Titans didn't. Frank Clark made the headlines whenever he said that Derrick Henry's not hard to tackle. Tyreek Hill said, look, no one's going to cover us. And yesterday, props to Kansas City and Frank Clark. Even though he was bullish after the game, the emotions taking over, that defense showed up and stopped Derrick Henry.
Past two games, each game, 70 yards, over 200 yards each game. I know damn well we weren't going to win the game if we let that happen. They come in here, he ran for 70 yards. They call him the best rusher in the league. We're sending this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me, and all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media saying, back.
They must not know who I am yet. They're going to find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that KC. KC, ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, there's no change. Look at this. We're the best in the world.
Go enjoy it.
Frank Clark on NFL Network.
Go enjoy it. I think he already is. That was a great closing line. Go enjoy it. Yeah, Frank Clark gets the last laugh.
Derrick Henry with 19 carries for 69 yards. Look, the way they came out running it, Chad, I liked the Titans' chances early. The play action was working too. And then when they separated the score, Steve Spagnuolo was able to treat the run game differently in the second half. And offensively, as lopsided as time of possession was in the first half, the Titans only won time of possession by 30 seconds. That's how much Patrick Mahomes had the football in the final two quarters.
Well, did they get away from the run too early? Really, the only chance, 21-17, when they force a punt on that first drive of the second half, when the Chiefs got the ball after deferring in the first half, and the Titans have it down 21-17, there's your opportunity to start to establish the run game and get back into a similar pattern you had in the first half. They didn't do that. Then the next time they get the ball, they're down 28-17 after that long, long Chiefs drive that was capped at the start of the fourth quarter. And from that point on, it's a catch-up game. So you throw the run game out the window for the most part. Well, that's what happened to the Titans.
And they only ran 23 plays in the second half.
Yeah, couldn't stay on the field.
23 plays is not the way to beat Kansas City. We go to David next up with Catfish Jake on deck. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Listen, I wanted to say first off, give props to the Coach Vrabel, Coach Robinson, Amy Adams, and of course the boys of the Titans. They were incredible this year, and they gave us our money's worth, most definitely. But I would say that I said this to my friends yesterday. I find that the Chiefs kind of a hard team to hate.
Yeah.
I think Coach Reed is a great coach. Mahomes is a, you know, you've used the word transcendent player. He's an evolutionary player. How many young quarterbacks are going to be coming up trying to play like that kid plays? If it wasn't for Clark, they'd be a really hard team to hate. Now, I wanted to ask you, what did the defense do to pinpoint King Henry and keep him to 60-plus yards? They really studied him, and it seemed to me that they were doing some precision tackling on him, going right for a point on his hip to break his stride. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, thank you, David. I thought on a lot of these, Kansas City did a great job at the point of attack. A lot of these tackles, it starts up front. I thought they won the battle on both lines of scrimmage in this game. Kansas City outrushed Tennessee yesterday. Now, some of that is due to Patrick Mahomes going for 53 yards. But, Chad, I looked up a lot watching Henry carry the football, and there were more than just one Kansas City Chief trying to bring him down. That was a big focal point of this.
I was disappointed that the Titans got blown out at the line of scrimmage on both sides.
They did some.
It wasn't close. I thought they were manhandled on both the offensive and defensive line. And that to me is the biggest disappointment. Derrick Henry's not disappointing to me. When you're getting defeated that badly at the point of attack, it's difficult to really get going. Now, what did they do differently? They talked about the desire to hit him low, that you cannot go high on Derrick Henry, which everyone should know by now. It's foolish to try to tackle him high. So they were going lower than most teams were.
His longest run was 13 yards.
I think that's why they had more success, because they were going low. Even the first play of the game, I think he rushed for like 5 yards, and the Chiefs crowd went crazy over it that they had stopped. And I'm thinking, he still got 4 or 5 yards. That's a successful first down play. But that's how much everyone knew about Derrick Henry going into that game. The fact that he didn't pop a 15, 20-yard run,
right.
Chiefs fans were ecstatic that it was 2nd and 5 after the first play of the game.
615-737-1045, our number. Chad, look up there. We have, 3 lines available?
Yeah, let's load those lines up right now. We've had loaded lines the first couple segments. 3 lines available right now. Fill them up. 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
This is the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. And, Chad, a huge thank you to Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Yes.
And to Brentwood Hearing Center for making our shows happen on the road.
We can't get any of this done without our station just telling us to go and allowing it to happen. And our great sponsors for sponsoring our coverage, which Farm Bureau Health Plans and Brentwood Hearing Center stepped up in a big way to make that happen. So we definitely thank them.
More of your calls coming up. If you or someone you know is suffering with painful knees, shoulders, or other joint pain, regenerative cell therapy could be a dream come true. The same stem cell treatments the pro athletes around the world are using to get relief without surgery are now available at the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center in Franklin. With Dr. Gill and the Regenerative Cell Institute, you have an entire team of healthcare professionals. When you call 615-794-0800, 794-0800, put your pain in the hands of experience. Say no to surgery. Get real permanent relief from painful knees, shoulders, or other joint pain without surgery. This regenerative treatment helps stop pain, reduce inflammation, and can actually help repair the damaged joint. So before you have painful knee, shoulder, or other joint replacement surgery, contact the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center. See if you're a good candidate for this amazing, safe, advanced, non-surgical procedure. Call 615-794-0800. $39 gets you an exam, x-rays, and a review of your findings. That's 615-794-0800 or visit them online at tnstemcell.com.
Happy New Year.
Game quickly in the final minutes of the first half. 615-737-1045, our number. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs winning 35-24 as we go back to the phones. And we go to Calvin, who's calling from Joelton. Hey, Calvin.
Thanks for taking my call. First off, I want to say RIP to Mr. Clymer and his family. I think we all grew up reading his articles. But on a lighter note, I woke up, man, and I was more mad at Bill O'Brien than anything for that damn 4th and 1, and we could have played Houston. But, man, Patrick Mahomes, he's Brett Favre all over again. He kind of reminds me of Big Ben and his second year when they went to the Super Bowl to play Seattle. Because, I mean, his offensive line was just beautiful. Harold Landry got outmatched by Eric Fisher. We need a pass rusher. You're so right about that, Chad. And you are so right about getting beat by the line of scrimmage. I can't believe it, man. I really went into this game thinking that Henry was just going to pound the ball. We missed opportunities. I think Tremaine Brock dropped the interception when we was down 21-17, which led to the touchdown by Williams. Man, just a tough break. And for some reason, I don't feel like we're going to be this close next year. I think we need we're going to lose a lot of people, and I'm all for TB12.
You're all for TB12?
He's all for Brady coming. Look, I don't know how many of these free agents.
I thought he was on his health plan. That's what he's saying. Yeah. He's with Guerrero, and he's on that. He's going to have some avocado ice cream after this.
I don't know how many of the free agents are back next year. I know the top ones deserve to be back on this team and be the nucleus of this roster. And thank you for saying what you said to begin that call on David Clymer. We will devote a portion of this show whenever Paul arrives to our thoughts on the passing of the legendary Tennessean columnist.
Yeah, we'll save it for when Paul's here, who worked with him for years. But Hutton, you and I have had many communications and interactions with David Clymer over the years. And yes, thank you to the caller for pointing that out. And we'll definitely talk more and more about that. I'm getting back to the line of scrimmage, though. Tim Grunhard came on with us on Saturday, and I'll always remember him saying the analogy of it's Rocky versus Apollo Creed. There was a lot more Rocky to the Chiefs in that game than I was expecting. There was a lot more toughness. There was a lot more domination at the line of scrimmage than I thought we would see from that Kansas City team. You knew the challenges with Mahomes and the speed and everything else going into it, so that didn't surprise anyone. Their ability to run it and to stop the run surprised me in that game. I thought the Titans would excel more in that area. The final score doesn't surprise me. The way the game went doesn't surprise me. I don't think the Titans played particularly bad in the game or anything. It's just the Chiefs are better. The Chiefs are the better football team. They're the deserving team to go to the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody can argue that.
And the formula to beat them is to, you know, create a turnover, score on defense, special teams play a huge factor. And those two areas didn't happen yesterday. They jumped out to the early lead, but they didn't increase that or stay with their overall rhythm of the game. And just want to see the time of possession, compare it first half to the end of the game. The Titans only one time of possession by 30 seconds, and consider how much they had the football. The Chiefs didn't have their third possession until 6 minutes remaining in the first half. That's how long the Titans held on to the football in those games. Down near the goal line, right before the Dennis Kelly touchdown pass, touchdown reception and the throw to Kelly on the tackle eligible, they had like a second and goal, and they had a carry, and they get stopped short of the goal line. And I remember turning to Philip Noel and saying, that's not a bad result. Because, again, it runs more clock. That was the overall plan. A one-yard gain at the goal line is not a bad thing, even in the second quarter.
I
like the overall plan and the focus on what they did. They just could not sustain it because of who they were facing at the other quarterback position. Allen is in Franklin. What's up, Allen?
Hey, guys. For taking my call. I've just got something in my crawl. I've got a huge beef with the Tennessee Titans secondary, especially Tremaine Brock and Amani Hooker on that try of tackling Patrick Mahomes when he was coming in. I mean, by the time he got to the 10-yard line, they knew he was past the line of scrimmage. And they had a chance to take a shot at him and really bust him good, and they didn't. They just kind of looked like NBA regular season players trying to stop, someone from getting a layup.
I was watching that. I thought Brock went for the strip instead of the tackle, which was a bad decision.
And Amani Hooker just brushed him as he went by. They had a chance to really take a shot at him. And I saw on Greeny's show earlier this morning on ESPN, they stopped that, pulled it out, talked about it, and said those guys were probably afraid of getting a big fine from hitting Mahomes bad. I'm like, are you kidding me? They tattooed, our quarterback, Tannehill, in the second half. That's what they should have done to Mahomes right there at the 5-yard line, and possibly could have held him to a field goal, and we've gotten in at least, tied at halftime. I just don't know why they did not make a better effort.
It was a weak attempt. There's no sugarcoating it. It was a soft play by both guys. It was a terrible attempt in getting the stutter step and tightrope the sideline on you by Rashawn Evans, who was also hurt, and he looked hurt on that play as he pursued him. I was shocked. I was more shocked at the initial getting around and tightroping the sideline around Rashawn Evans than I was about him fighting off the weak attempt at the strip at the end of the play and getting into the end zone. But if Tremaine Brock and Hooker had it to do over again, they would play that play very differently. But he tried to cause a fumble, and Mahomes just kept running.
We go back to the phones. We go to Gene, who's calling from Asheville, North Carolina. Hey, Gene.
Hey, guys. The NFL never waits, and that game's over. And my impression is, J-Rob, we need to an edge rusher is our number one priority. And if you can get Clowney at any price, That'd be my first choice. We need a speed cornerback, another speed wide receiver, and you need to sign Tannehill and Derek.
That's a lot.
I mean, it's what they need.
I know it is what they need, but man, that's a lot in one offseason. You're gonna point being, you're gonna have to get some of those things in the middle of the draft somewhere. You gotta hope to go get an AJ Brown type weapon in the third or fourth round. It could be a smaller speed option at receiver, but I mean, going and getting Clowney and then also re-signing Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and everything else you need to re-sign, it's gonna be difficult with that. How many years though have we said the top option for the Titans is pass rush?
Oh, for years. But that to me, that magnifies how much they need to bring back Tannehill and Henry. Because if you have them back, then you can focus on pass rush and corner. If you don't, then you're focused on the other two positions. Or one of the two. Because of who you're losing and what they mean to your offense. 615-737-1045, our number.
With all due respect to Khalif Raymond, when he is your speed option at wide receiver, you're not doing a good enough job in that department. And they clearly have to address that. There has to be more speed on the outside on both sides of the ball, at receiver yeah. and at corner. That's fair to say about this Titans team, having watched that matchup with the Chiefs.
PK will join us momentarily. More of your phone calls as well. We have one line available. And again, we're going to get to all of our calls today. We are wide open, reacting to the Titans and yesterday's loss in the AFC Championship game. Midday 180 here on 104.5 The Zone. We are in a new year, a new decade. You've heard this before, but it's true. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. It applies to your finances and future financial planning. Most of us don't take any action on our investments or financial planning, usually because we don't know what to do or who to call, and this would definitely describe me at this time last year. First, this is an area that can get complicated fast. Studies show the common thread between those who do well with their finances and those who have less stress, it comes down to the level of planning that they do. So if you want to start this new year off right, where do you start? Well, a number of consumer advocates recommend working with registered investment advisors who must keep your interests in mind, not their own. Next, make sure they have a financial planning degree. That sounds simple, but the majority actually don't. And make sure they don't work on commission. Paul Winkler and his team meet that criteria. At Paul Winkler, Inc., Paul and his team, they've been serving Middle Tennessee for over 20 years. All of them have at least that much experience. You can check them out for yourself online, paulwinkler.com. Just simply call 615-851-1950. 851-1950. Check out the website where you can watch his tutorials. You can listen to the Investor Coach podcast. That's at paulwinkler.com. Again, the number is 615-851-1950 or online at paulwinkler.com.
You're working
hard. Just three carries and two catches after halftime. The Titans able to run just 23 plays in the third and fourth quarters combined. 615-737-1045. Remember, Titans fall in the AFC Championship game to Kansas City. The crew is all here now. Paul is back. He has just been dropped off by the Uber from the airport.
I told the Uber guy, I said, keep that tuned in. It's going to get even better.
We are ready to go with your reaction. And, Paul, we've been discussing this morning about the Kansas City's ability to win at the line of scrimmage. The first two playoff matchups, the Titans on the offensive line, it was noticeable from the first snap in both games, New England and Baltimore, the explosion off the line, right? Second-level runs for Henry. And yesterday, his longest run's 13 yards, and the vast majority of his production came in the first two drives.
Yeah, they didn't get him going, and that production was, you just listed his average. The production was nothing special. They didn't do anything special. And the inability to do anything special in an AFC Championship game against a team that was doing special stuff, you get what they got. Second half just felt like they weren't even really playing in the game because they didn't have the ball. And you mentioned the time of possession was like 20-10 in the second half. We talked about, not necessarily being a time of possession game, but being a number of possession games. And I think that
it was even.
But I think the Chiefs only had the ball nine times, and going into the game, you would have said if the Chiefs have the ball nine times, that's a good harbinger for the Titans as opposed to 12. You know, and it just didn't turn out that way. They couldn't handle him, and that run that you guys were talking about really was deadly. Whether Evans is hurt or not, that's a it wasn't that great of a move. It was a very slight move. He's got to do a better job there. Tremaine Brock, you can't. And this has been a problem in the league. Blake Benningfield has pointed this out with guys trying to strip ahead of trying to tackle. There's just no excuse for it. You have to get the guy to the ground. And he had two chances. He had a chance at the five and he had a chance at the one. And he didn't even learn at the five when he failed to strip that, oh, I should be tackling him at the one. He came back and he tried to strip again. He stripped and then he stripped again, which is not what that was just terrible. And that play to me, that end of the first half with the three and out and then giving up the touchdown, that really was what killed them and gave it up. Now, if the Chiefs had come back at the beginning of the second half and scored, that really would have been the killer. But they did take a lot of time. That third quarter, Chiefs had a long possession but didn't score. Titans had a long possession but didn't score. Chiefs had a long possession, didn't score in the third quarter, went into the fourth quarter and got a touchdown, and the game felt pretty much done at that point. And it was over. Titans quieted that Chiefs crowd early for a little while, and then when it got rocking, again, three stadiums in a row we've been at that just played a rock and roll, and they were singing. I don't want the windows open at Arrowhead Stadium, but I wanted to open long enough for me to be able to record the noise that was coming from that place.
After starting 0 for 3 on third down, the Chiefs finished 6 of 7, and the Titans were 3 of 10 on third down for the game. Kansas City averaged 6.3 yards per play, and they outgained the Titans 404 to 295. And you're right, Paul, they're both teams, both offenses had 9 drives.
Chiefs 7 for 11 if you count fourth down. That's monster.
Yeah.
Monster drive extending numbers. And you just, that's no way to beat them. They're awfully good. Awfully good. And Frank Clark, Chad, you nailed it, said he got the last laugh. And he absolutely did.
And so did Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
They were not being covered. No matter, and we had a caller earlier that said, Why do they keep going man? Because zone wasn't working either. That was the problem. They had to switch up coverages at times.
I saw Bernard Pollard tweet that they really need to go away from the too high look because the Chiefs are just eating them alive with it.
And you know, everybody's talking. I don't know how much. It's a good question, and I'm sure we'll circle back to it at a time when we spend a segment or an hour on it. But do you now construct yourself for the Chiefs? I don't think you do. I might. I don't think they do. They've declined to construct themselves for the Colts or for the Texans. So I don't know that they sit at the whiteboard when they start to say what they need to do and construct themselves for the Chiefs. But if you're constructing yourself for the Chiefs, you certainly, I mean, pass rush goes without saying. That's over here is 1A. That's for everybody. But against this team, you need more speed in the secondary. But the pass rush would eliminate your need for the speed in the secondary because you wouldn't need to be covering so long. And Kenny Vaccaro, one of the things he said yesterday is, look, you take Mahomes and put him on a team with 4-9 guys, and when he can drop back 20 yards and still sling at 50, it doesn't matter and make it work with anybody.
And with the time that he has.
Yeah. That's what he's saying. He could fall back 20 yards to buy himself time if he needs to and still zip it.
Let's go to Travis in Murfreesboro. Hey, Travis. Thanks for waiting. Travis dropped off. We go to Ben in Lebanon. Hey, Ben.
Benjamin.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Wonderful.
Hey, I just had a quick question there for you. Well, I mean, Titans, great job, everything on that. I didn't think they'd make it quite this far, but I was just wondering what y'all's opinion was on the Tannehill situation. I think Henry's a must. I think Tannehill, to me, is pretty much a must. But do you get in the draft and try to find maybe that next quarterback, you know, mid-round, third, fourth round through there, and go ahead and draft a quarterback right now? I'll hang up and listen, fellas.
I think that if Tannehill's back, I think that is the play to go with, is to try to develop that next guy.
I don't think it's mandatory.
But, yeah, it can go. You can go in a number of different directions. But the backup quality is not the backup quality of a Tannehill this year. Because the guys everyone's going to mention, they all want to be starters somewhere.
Right. They're not going to be as good.
So the option is, obviously, re-sign Tannehill. But do you draft a mid-round guy to develop, or do you wait a year or two and draft a first-round quarterback when Tannehill's on the way out?
Or as that process is starting. Either way, your backup next year is not as good. It's a rookie who's got zero experience, who's not going to be getting first-team snaps, who would be coming in the middle of a game if he's hurt. Or it's a middling backup who's not going to be as good a backup as you got with Tannehill.
But Tannehill back is a pretty good option for this offense with what we've seen over the duration of the run that they made. We're recapping that run and last night's loss in Kansas City. 615-737-1045, our number, 737-1045. We are live today back from KC to react with you. Titans fall to the Chiefs. Your calls next as we kick off the 11 a.m. hour. Midday 180-1045, The Zone. Titans fall by 11, 35-24, as Patrick Mahomes leads those two touchdown drives at the end of the second quarter to grab the lead that they would not relinquish, and the Chiefs are headed to the Super Bowl to face the San Francisco 49ers. 615-737-1045, our number, 737-1045. Paul, what were some of the conversations like post-game in the locker room?
Well, a lot of conversations about the suddenness, which is always kind of the story at the end of the playoffs, particularly if you've won a little bit, you know. Nobody prepares for the end. So, you know, Vrabel didn't have any plan on what to do. And, Byard was talking about, I wish I could get one more snap with these guys as currently constructed. I'm going to cherish the bus ride to the airport and the flight. And, Casey, who had already bawled his eyes out after he came into the locker room, his voice faltered and cracked while I was talking to him, and he spit out a good quote and then said, he says, "I appreciate you," when he wants to end the conversation. Mm. And he said, "I appreciate you," and walked off, and I saw him having to cry again. I never get tired of that storyline when it comes to an end of guys expressing those feelings, because it's always different and it's so raw. Everything's so cliched, generally speaking, but that's not cliched because it's so raw and organic and authentic, because you're in the moment with them as they're feeling the end of this thing, which they just had there was no preparation or rehearsal for talking about the end of something that they fully expected was not coming.
And now they have the chance to build on something that they can hang their hat on.
Yeah, and that's a kind of two-headed thing, too. And this is the second piece I wrote yesterday. You know, we've talked about this time and time again, all the way back to Jeff Fisher, right? You never pick up where you left off. Right. And most coaches say that from day one, as soon as they report from OTAs. All right. We start all the way back at the beginning. Tom Brady talks about this all the time. Right. You start way back at the beginning. Every rep counts, and we've got to build all the way. And we can't take anything for granted about where last season ended. Doesn't matter. The Super Bowl champs talk about this. Right. The six-time Super Bowl champs talk about this. Got to start way at the beginning. Nothing really carries over, all of that. But Kenny Vaccaro was saying yesterday, I understand that thinking, but that's BS here, because we've got a new maturity and we learned that we could win, and nobody here knew bleep before this about what we could do, and we know it now. And so the guys who are back, absolutely there's going to be some carryover. There can't help but be some carryover, because before this, we had no idea we were capable of this. And so now when we report, we start at zero, but we got a whole new understanding of what we can do now.
And an understanding that the plan works.
Yeah, and Vrabel year three.
The confidence that the plan works.
Yeah.
You've actually seen it work now, so you know you can always go back to that.
And that's a very, very interesting thing. I mean, we'll be chewing on that here for months, right?
Yes.
One little complaint, because I read your piece, Paul, in Kenny Vaccaro's quotes. Why do we get right back to the respect card? Now maybe people will respect us next year. Kenny Vaccaro talked a lot about.
If they don't,
if they don't, they don't. But the people are going to have to respect us. But if they don't, who cares?
Yeah. Byard said the same thing. They're not going to be any 3-13 predictions next year.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. They can't help it.
Just go back to winning. I mean, how you avoid those 3-13 predictions is you become like the Chiefs where you're just winning every year.
And that's the thing. Look, I don't want to be the downer right now, but, I mean, to become Patriot-like or Chief-like or whoever, you know, has consistent success, you've got to string it together because a lot of teams emerge and have a big season like this, and what happens the next year? There's some regression to the mean. There's a big injury to a key player. They get pushed aside by the next team that emerges, right? And they are going to be picked to win the division, to go to the playoffs next year. The whole expectations change. There's a lot of circumstantial stuff that becomes different. And then there's a new test as to what you can handle and stuff. And some teams handle that and stay who they are, and other teams have a down year.
615-737-1045 if you want to jump in, 737-1045. I'm not predicting this team to regress to the mean or anything like that. I just want to do away with the
respect.
And maybe that's what works for them. Maybe that's what, you know, drove them to this run that they went on. I don't know, but it's to me, it's pointless to talk about that.
We go to Peyton in Hendersonville. Hey, Peyton.
How you guys doing?
Good. Great.
Good. Just wanted to put points on the game plan. One thing that I saw consistently yesterday, I don't know if it was Frank Clark or who it was, but the Titans' offensive line consistently, the backside backer especially ran towards the left side. The backside backer consistently collapsed down the line, and we never sealed that off. And another thing is, I can't remember if it was the last drive of the second quarter or the first drive of the third quarter, Kansas City came on a goal line defense on the 40. I don't know why we didn't change the game, the play call to something else. We just ran it right at the middle and got stuck. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Well, they went very conservative with that drive before giving it to Mahomes and the Chiefs with 2 minutes left, trying to run clock. I didn't have a big objection to that because I think it's smart to give him as little time as possible. In that last in, I mean, you could say, all right, we'll just go get first downs, and then they don't have to get the ball at all. I completely understand that. And then the first Titans drive of the second half, that was, if you're looking at big swing moments in the game, the touchdown run by Mahomes is the biggest.
Yes.
But also getting the stop, improbably, by the way, I was certain the Chiefs were going to go down and score a touchdown and go ahead and start to end that thing with that first drive of the second half.
Yeah.
But they forced the punt, they get the ball back, and then not doing anything on that drive was really the beginning of the end, because that's when the Chiefs start that long march that caps off with the second play of the fourth quarter.
And that's when they had the first and five, where Henry goes right for 4 yards to get him in the second and one. Henry left tackle for no gain. But that's Kelly offensive holding. That gets him pushed back to third and 10. Tannehill scrambles and gets 6 yards. Sorensen, very solid tackler.
He's very good.
That was a strong hit on Tannehill there and forced him to punt. And that's what Tannehill said after the game. He said, we're in that second and one. We give it to Henry twice, and he doesn't get it. That never happens to us, you know?
The 10 longest plays for the Titans occurred in either the first or the fourth quarters. There was nothing in between.
Yeah.
Had a couple of big plays in the second quarter on some drives, but I believe that the second quarter was Henry's longest run of 13 yards.
And the third quarter, they ran, you know, 7-8 plays in that one drive.
What's up, Kurt?
Going, fellas. I think you just hit on it. I got on the air. We were way too conservative in play calling. With that team and that offense, you got to put points on the board. Everybody knew it going in, and we just did not execute. I don't know if that was the play calling or was that the offense. And
I don't know that it was the play calling. They took that one. I remember in the one play where Tannehill play action rolled out, threw back for Firkser, and it was just off. Right? He was a little late throwing it, probably when Firkser was open. Then the pass was a little bit long. The defender closed a little bit. Just didn't work.
Well, I would go almost the opposite of what he's saying. Because I think you do have to be conservative against this team. It takes points, but the Titans, with their overall philosophy, can put up points by running the football. And they got away from that. And with the play action working early, I understand the game plan. They scored on their first three possessions. But in the second half, they were forced to play chase. And that is the wrong side of the scoreboard to be on against that team. They couldn't play their game. Their game was Derrick Henry, and they couldn't get him the football in the second half.
I'm nitpicking a little bit here. I understand that. But during this great run for the Titans, there's been some things that have been consistent with certain players where they go above and beyond in making the play. I thought Firkser took a bad route to getting a big play on that also. That was not a great run after the catch by him. He's been better at that. A.J. Brown had a really nice run after catch on that first drive. A.J. Brown, almost 4 weeks ago, scores a touchdown on that play. He picked a wrong cutback lane and got buried by Honey Badger.
I also think Honey Badger did a good job.
If he goes back to the sideline, I think he's scoring a touchdown. And look, I know I'm nitpicking because I'm asking a player to do something extreme, but we've come to expect that from A.J. Brown. When he gets galloping in the open field and he breaks off a tackle and he's going, he's scoring a touchdown on those plays. He picked the wrong cutback lane. He got buried and it led to a field goal instead of a touchdown. Could have been 14-0 Titans, not 10-0. And how does that change the complexion of the game at that point?
They needed to get the next score after the Mahomes run, right? That was bad, but that's the kind of thing like, okay, something bad happened. They had the 3-and-out. The Chiefs got the ball back. They got the touchdown before half. They took the lead at 21-17. You go in the locker room. Chiefs are getting the ball. Come out. You actually stop them. Still 21-17, and everything's okay. Then they had that series we just talked about with the first and five. Didn't work out. Punted. You're still all right.
Yeah. And
then Kansas City goes on the – as soon as it's 28-17 – that's where you lose contact, it feels like, and that's where you kind of get away from being yourself.
And that first drive to open the second half, you thought they were getting off the field on Sammy Watkins' catch where he was ruled out of bounds. They review it, get the first down, and then you're still able to force the Chiefs to punt by Mahomes throwing three consecutive incompletions. And
you think they're all right.
It was a 3rd-and-10 pass that Tyreek Hill dropped. And you're getting the ball back after
a
punt.
Drop.
And the Titans picked up some first downs. They faced a 3rd-and-7, and Humphreys picked up 8 yards.
Humphreys made at least three key first down plays.
After that first down, Kansas City had a penalty for too many men on the field.
First and five at the Tennessee 37.
You're getting back in rhythm. And then they had a 3rd-and-1 where there was a penalty on Dennis Kelly.
That was a hurry.
That moves it back, and then you're scrambling.
And that's when Sorensen popped on the third
Tannehill.
And 10.
Then you're scrambling because of the, Tannehill's trying to get off the mark and make a play.
The Kelly holding penalty was the one everybody's all angry about.
Now, I don't think that flag was the flag. I think
that flag was for illegal formation.
Okay.
Everyone's saying that he threw the flag before the ball
right
was snapped.
Snap.
Right
that
at
was
the snap,
illegal formation.
Right at the snap was a legal formation. They did a poor job of telling the crowd and the broadcast.
There was
that.
Another flag from somewhere else, and they didn't call the illegal formation.
Right. They accepted the offensive holding, which was, a 9-yard penalty to make 3rd-and-10.
In the game book, they don't even list the illegal formation. So they decided not to call the illegal formation, they called the holding. But the conspiracy theorists out there, but Titans fans were ridiculous yesterday. I think the Chiefs got away with some holding for sure. This crew was not a flag heavy crew. Titans should have held more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To read Twitter yesterday, Kansas City won this game strictly because of the officials, and the NFL was determined to have a Chiefs Niners
Super Bowl. Well, they. Right after they punt back to the Chiefs, to your point, Paul, the Chiefs get the ball back. They go score on a long touchdown drive where it was like 13 or 14 plays for over 7 minutes of total time off the clock. The Titans then punt it back to them again on, it wasn't a three and out, but it was close to a three and out. And the Chiefs go on another long drive of like 7 or 8 minutes to get a touchdown on the, what ended in the Sammy Watkins 60-yard catch and score. 615-737-1045, our number. More of your calls coming up. Chad, we have, what, two lines available?
Let's remedy that right now. Let's take your phone calls throughout the show reacting to the Titans' loss up in Kansas City. 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
Midday 180 here on 104.5 The Zone. The Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty, they're who we turn to when the Huttons made the move in Murfreesboro in 2018. They were excellent, and now they've continued to grow and help so many in Middle Tennessee purchase their home when making the move. You can learn more online. If you're making the move in 2020, look to THGTN.com. THGTN.com. You can also call David Huffaker and his great team at 833-THG-NASH. That's 833-THG-NASH. They put in the hours of training, over 120 hours of training. Whether you're new to the game or an experienced agent, the Huffaker Group Boot Camp ensures all agents are prepared and up to date with market knowledge and practices, which allows clients to receive a top-notch real estate experience. And not just one, not just anyone can be an agent with the Huffaker Group. They're selected through a multi-interview process, and they just don't dabble in real estate. They're not part-time. They are full-time real estate employees. And then once on the team, they're experts as they continue to receive weekly coaching and training sessions, which allows for that continual education. And then many of the Huffaker Group's agents teach monthly seminars themselves throughout the area. They manage the contract process from start to finish, which includes scheduling all appraisals, inspections, closing details, and so much more. It takes the stress off, and it saves you time. Offices in Mount Juliet, Murfreesboro, and Hendersonville, which means your agent specializes in your neighborhood. They're involved in your communities. They buy and sell all over Middle Tennessee, and they're knowledgeable in all of the surrounding areas of the state. THGTN.com is the website for the Huffaker Group. THGTN.com, the phone number, 833-THG-NASH. The Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty, 615-758-8886.
If you have IR...
I'll comment on a couple of things. I really felt like in the first half, Tennessee on offense especially played an almost perfect game. I think the play calling was great. Henry was not getting chunks, but he was getting some small amounts of yardage, and Tannehill was playing well, and we were right where we wanted to be. I think what happened is you go in at halftime and you play a perfect first half and you're down 21-17, it can tend to put a little pressure on you, and I think the excitement of the game kind of got to them a little bit in the second half, made a couple of mistakes. The one thing, the only play call I had a problem with was Kansas City went into a gold line defense on about the 40-yard line, the Titans 40, and stopped the play. And I'm really thinking Tannehill at that time maybe just wished he had that back, because I think there's some things we could have done that would have moved the ball on down the field, and that would have been a critical, critical time for us to have scored again.
Yeah, it was not a perfect first half. It was going well until they had a three and out when they got the ball with 4 minutes left, when they needed to bleed that out and go get a touchdown. Well, a
three-point lead at that point.
Yeah, and they need to go score a touchdown there to have a perfect first half.
And they
half.
Had scored on the previous three possessions,
yes,
at that point.
And instead they go three and out, give the ball back, and not only give up a touchdown, but give up a touchdown on a 27-yard scramble by a quarterback where they had at least three chances to get him to the ground and fail. That's not perfect.
On top of
That's
all that.
That's far from perfect.
On top
That's
of all
devastating.
That. Three and out. Brett Kern punts. The ball would have been at the Kansas City 24. There's a holding penalty called, so they're backed up even further. They started that drive at the 14, right before half. Yeah. That was ended by Mahomes' scramble for 27 yards.
I agree with the caller. They played very well up until that three and out.
Let's go to Rich in Smyrna. Hey, Rich.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Great.
Good.
Hey, Richard.
Let me just start off by saying you guys did a tremendous job on Friday and Saturday. And for those of us who were back home and kept tuned in to you all day, it felt like we were there.
Very Thanks. Kind of you,
Not about, not about us. What about the game? Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my question. And
say that a little nicer, Paul, after he says the nice things.
It's nice of you, but it's not about us.
Okay. My question is about the ball.
Packed. Work on.
I played quarterback in high school, and I remembered after seeing this yesterday, my coach.
Oh, do we lose you?
Well, that's unfortunate. Call back. You could praise us a little bit more.
Evan in Nashville next up. What's up, Evan?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Great, man.
Hey, so just a quick question. On the Mahomes touchdown run, Rashawn Evans, that missed tackle, obviously he looked a little hurt a few plays before that, and then David Long came in a little bit after that touchdown and played some plays. Obviously, Evans came back in later in the game, but I was in a bar, so I didn't really have the sound. And, Paul, this is also kind of a question centered towards you. But did y'all maybe think his injury or what appeared to be an injury had any effect on him missing that tackle?
If he's out there, he's got to make the tackle. He only played 38%. He only played 38% of the snaps. So
it absolutely had an effect on him missing that tackle. Yes, if he's out there, that's not an excuse, but he looked hurt as he was chasing him down the sideline. It looked like he was almost limping as he's approaching him. And part of that, someone brought up, maybe it looked like he thought Mahomes was going to step out of bounds and kind of let up to not get a penalty as he's stepping out of bounds, and then he tight-roped it and went around him. It was a bad effort. I mean, however you want to crack. I mean, look, he hurt or not, it was a terrible look on that play, and then it got even worse with Tremaine Brock trying to strip him at the end and not tackle him.
He was hurt initially, Evan, on and he was on the injury report with a foot last week, but he was hurt initially at the end of the first quarter. He went into the locker room.
What did they call it? I forgot.
A foot.
Oh, same thing, probably.
Yeah, and then he came back into the game, ran back onto the field, and then left gingerly again later in that game.
So he's hurt, and then he was hurt again.
He was playing like Jayon Brown was in New England, where he's just trying to play through it and give them something. Thank you, Evan. We go to Roger in Dixon. Hey, Roger.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was wondering what you thought about Dean Pease's defensive plan. I thought that three-man rush, Mahomes was eating it alive. And they seem to do that most of the game. What you guys think?
I think part of that is the rush lanes coupled with trying to make sure he doesn't kill you with his legs as well, because he was doing it both ways.
Yeah, and they wanted to keep numbers and coverage, which obviously didn't work. Landry, ineffective, running past him if he was getting back there at all. I think he's working with a defense that's not well suited for that offense. I don't know that how many are, but this one's not. And but I think at some point it should have changed it a little bit more. I know they were mixing up the coverages a little bit. I thought they should have maybe mixed up the front a little bit more often.
Rich is in Smyrna. Hey, Rich.
They're back in now.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to try and make it quick. I played quarterback in high school. My high school coach always told me, never toss the ball to your running back because they have to keep their eyes off defense, and it adds another step. Always hand it off to them. But yesterday, for the first time,
And there goes his phone again. And we're 0-2. Well, there will not be a third, Rich. I'm sorry.
We will also set reset a policy. We will also
reset a policy.
There
will not have a third.
What your high school coach did applying to Derrick Henry is not really.
Well, he said either a handoff or like a pitch difference.
Yeah, they flip it.
Yeah, the odd play to
Henry to the right.
They want him on the edge and they want him moving.
Right. Well, also, but the Chiefs with the little front flip to Hardman.
Yeah.
On the rushing attempt. You know, the team that I always saw this, Les Miles coached teams at LSU had that weird short pitch / handoff. It was almost like a handoff, but it was like a dart they'd throw from a foot away on a pitch to the running back, which is the weirdest looking play. And it looked so dangerous, but they mastered it to where they could always pitch it back to someone and doing that. It does look a little bit different.
615-737-1045, our number. 737-1045. More of your phone calls straight ahead. Midday 180 on 1045 The Zone.
You're back on the wait.
Because they got that close. And they were not able to get over the biggest hurdle, which was Kansas City yesterday. The Chiefs, a slight favorite in Vegas for Super Bowl 54 facing the 49ers. And the, you know, I don't know if you were in Uber or not when I said this, that the formula for what San Francisco is doing, for as much as people want to say, oh, you, this proves that you need more of a passing offense and a dynamic quarterback, more so than an offense that goes through the run. San Francisco has found the run, and Jimmy Garoppolo attempted eight passes yesterday.
San Francisco's very Titans-like. They're going a game further with it. They may well win that
they're
game.
They're Titans to the extreme when it comes to that.
And by the way, they're doing it with a running back found off the street who is cut by, what, six teams?
Yeah.
It's not going to cost them $13 million.
And Chicago passed on Mahomes and Mostert. They cut Mostert. So they passed on him. Both of those players led San Francisco to a Super Bowl.
Going to be a lot of red and gold in the Super Bowl this year between those two teams.
Color match as opposed to color rush. Now, here's something real quick. San Francisco apparently has asked the league to wear throwback uniforms in the Super Bowl. This is a huge mistake, in my opinion. If you're in the Super Bowl, you wear your uniforms now. So 10 years from now, you wear them as throwbacks. And now, what you do is you wear your new uniforms. And then in 10 years, you wear them, and they can be throwbacks. Throwing back to you in the Super Bowl now.
They've gone back to their traditional uniforms this year. So what throwbacks are they talking about? The ones they wore?
White on white. I don't know the specifics of it, but why would you wear a throwback in the Super Bowl?
It was the 75th anniversary. I remember because I was a 49ers fan growing up. The 75th anniversary of the league. The last time they won the Super Bowl was Steve Young. They blew out the Chargers in the Super Bowl. They wore, I guess it's because that's what they wore that night. I think they wore all white. And that was the year
with the gold helmet.
Yes. And they always had the gold helmet. They had the throwback uniform that was all white, and the number font was different. If you go back and look at that game, pretty sure they wore the all white. Maybe that's a tribute
to... Don't worry. We will be following this story.
25 years ago, last time they won the Super Bowl, maybe it's a tribute to that.
Don't like it. Wear what you wear.
I'm with you. And they've got such good uniforms. Always been a big fan of the 49ers. Red with gold pants and gold helmet.
I think I want them to win.
I want the Chiefs to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I think Kansas City.
I need a couple days.
Let's go to Phil, who's calling from Dover. Hey, Phil.
Hello.
Phil.
It's Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Bill.
William.
Hey, calling from Dover. Hey, I wanted to give a shout-out to my tailgate crew, Big Papa and Big Bob at Big Papa's tailgate.
Anybody else? Anybody else?
Big Daryl.
Was Big Daryl there?
Big Sam.
Big Tom. Everybody. All the big guys. We got it.
All the big guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
I thought the game turned on the three and out before the half, given Mahomes that ball back. Don't think we blow the team up. I think we'll get better. Mm-hmm. Big Jeff ought to get stronger, and AJ gets better. So
is Big Jeff the favorite of the Big Sam and group?
Big Bob and everyone? Yeah. He's not following that. Yeah, sense of humor at all with that.
I thought it was terrific.
Yeah. We were really on a roll. We just had an unattentive audience.
And wants to know on Twitter, when the Titans were only down 7 points in the third quarter, why did we give up on Henry?
They didn't. They were never down. That's where we said that he got the ball.
They were never down 7 points in the third quarter. They were down 4 points, and they were down 11 points.
Well, they were down 4 points, and they gave it to Henry on second and one and third and one, and he got stopped on both. That's where Kelly got the holding call. That was pivotal.
We go to Bill in Nashville. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
So I had a two-prong question. In the third quarter, they showed a graphic talking about how King Henry had been dethroned, and then I didn't know if that was more of us having to play catch-up and having to throw the ball in the second half, or whether they really were stacking the box and really neutralizing Henry. And then second part, going into the offseason and with this next year's draft class, what are the Titans need to focus on? Thank you.
Well, make no mistake. I mean, the Titans did a good job pacing out Henry and using him when they were playing well early, but he was being very well defended, and part of it was that the offensive line was getting pushed around. He was dethroned because the Chiefs, A, won the line of scrimmage, and B, defended him very well. That's the best defense of Henry that we've seen in a long time.
And then the Chiefs' offense helped defend Henry in the second half because the Titans only ran 23 plays.
Yeah, and you reduce their plays that much and put them in catch-up mode, they're going to have to go away from him. What do they need? I mean, they need to retain a lot of their free agents, starting with Tannehill and Henry. Logan Ryan, I think, is an absolutely crucial piece to this thing. I think this defense would
be a versatile player.
Vastly different without him. Conklin is going to get huge money, and I don't know that it's going to be here. They need some more speed. And first and foremost, and we've been saying this for years, they need a dominant edge performer who can go attack the quarterback, that's going to make things easier on the secondary and easier on everybody on defense. And I know that you know, they're going to say that's a hard guy to find at 29. That's a hard guy to find in free agency. It's an expensive guy. You got to find him, and you got to pay him, and you got to make it work. It's too hard to do the things you need to do to make the defense work without that guy. It's too hard. It asks too much of everybody else. Things get so much easier for everybody else if you can find that guy.
Well, there's a bunch of other teams that find that guy, and the Titans have shown they can find some guys, so let's find one of those guys. It's really that simple.
Well said.
What's up, Phil?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Actually, my call was exactly what Paul just stated. The one thing that we've been looking for years is that edge rusher, that speed guy. And to me, that's what cost us the game yesterday, was we lost that game up front. I didn't think Mahomes played outstanding.
Oh, he was great.
Good enough to win.
No,
but
he was great.
He was outstanding.
I felt like we couldn't get any pressure on the guy whatsoever. Gave him 7, 8, 10 seconds to throw the ball, and that's what took us down.
I don't know how you don't feel like he was outstanding. I mean, the guys, that touchdown run was outstanding. He's 23 for 35, nearly 300 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 120.4 passer rating. That's outstanding.
Bob is in Brentwood. Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
A couple quick points. The caller before me made a kind of touched on the point that I was making, and it really, really bothered me yesterday. And that is at the 3-minute mark in the first half, to me, it's inexplicable why the offensive coordinator, why we took our foot off the pedal, especially against a team like this, and ran three straight handoffs to Henry right up the same location, right up the middle, and he got stuffed all three times, and we all know what happened thereafter. We lost momentum that we had going, that we earned up to that point in the first half, and we completely lost that momentum on that series of handoffs, and we knew those plays weren't going to go away.
Are you saying right before the half?
Right before they kicked.
Well, one carry was to the left, one was to the right, so they weren't exactly the same carries. Then they passed to Deion Lewis on third down.
Yeah, but the three plays where Henry was stopped in a row.
There
was just two plays.
Yeah, there weren't three plays where Henry was stopped in a row. They went Henry, short pass to Deion Lewis, and didn't pick up the first down.
Okay, I stand corrected on that. But still, they were. I thought we took our foot off the pedal. We went far too conservative. We were down on that end of the field. We were very close to a couple plays and were in good scoring position. And if you go back and look at that game, that series of plays, as you accurately described, was the pivotal moment that the Titans lost momentum for the rest of the game.
You're saying they took their foot off the pedal. This team's foot on the pedal is largely Derrick Henry.
In hindsight, yes, you're right. But it's tough to fault the coaching staff for wanting to milk a little clock to make sure, first off, that their key is the running game. But also, you don't want to, if they come out and throw three incomplete passes and Patrick Mahomes has the ball with 3:40 left, in the first half and you're punting it back to him and not with the, at the two-minute warning, then we're having a different discussion about it. The defense let down. I mean, they did that, and then they pinned him back at the 14 after the penalty, and then the defense let down. Here's my point. It didn't work out. But unlike some of Mike Vrabel's early season decisions that I questioned and we questioned, I didn't understand what the thinking was on some of his decisions. I completely understand the coach's thinking to say, let's work clock. If we get a first down, great. Then we'll kick it into high gear and go down and try to score. And a screen pass to Deion Lewis, it's not like you're saying, we're going to run the ball, basically take a knee here up the middle. They're trying to get a first down in that play. Didn't work, but it's not like they're completely conceding in that moment also.
They needed some yards on the first two carries for the screen to be more effective.
Again,
what did he pick up, 6 or 7 yards? He needed eight or nine.
He got 2 or 3 yards away from it. Yeah. I completely understand people second-guessing that now, but if you really think about the decision-making process of that point in the game, it's tough to find fault with the coach deciding to do that. It's understandable why you would do it.
You need some yards out of the runs.
615-737-1045. Two lines available if you'd like to jump in. Again, 615-737-1045.
We're taking phone calls throughout the day today. We have cleared all of our guests. They'll be on later in the week. Got a special show coming to you tomorrow also. We'll be talking more about later. But your chance to talk Titans Chiefs today, 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
Midday 180 here on 104.5 The Zone. What does it take to be awarded the 15th fastest growing business in Middle Tennessee and the fastest growing dealership in the area, according to the Nashville Business Journal? After years of consistent growth, Music City Autoplex can tell you. It's aggressive pricing, tons of vehicles for any budget, financing options for any situation, more cash for your trade, and the promise that you'll be treated like family. That is the Autoplex way, and it's what makes them the uncommon dealership. You can see for yourself. Swing by Music City Autoplex at 2430 Gallatin Pike. Music City Autoplex wants your vehicle, and they're willing to pay $500 more than any written appraisal offer you may receive. That is guaranteed. You heard it right. They buy your vehicle today, and they'll give you $500 more than any written appraisal offer, regardless of whether you purchase from Music City Autoplex or not. So, not a trade-in, but they'll buy your vehicle for $500 more than any written appraisal. That's the best deal you're going to get anywhere. Music City Autoplex, home of the $500 bonus appraisal offer, located at 2430 Gallatin Pike. 2430 Gallatin Pike. Music City Autoplex is the uncommon dealership. You can see them at their other address, musiccityautoplex.com. When elected to the Pro Bowl from the Chiefs defensive line, he was very good yesterday, returning from injury. Of course, he's headed to Super Bowl 54. Jarrell Casey will replace him in the Pro Bowl roster and the lineup for this Sunday's Pro Bowl in Orlando. Of course, Derrick Henry and Brett Kern already playing in that game. Derrick is in Murfreesboro. Hey, Derrick.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Great.
Great. I got a couple comments. Hey, first I'd like to give my hats off to Kansas City fans. It was great out there. They had so good hospitality. But next, I want to thank the Titans. Titans, you know, we went out there and we just got beat by a better team. I mean, they went out there and played team ball. We had a few hiccups, but we went out there and we showed what we're about. We're going to fight to the end, and like we say in the Army, we never accept defeat. And they showed me in that last 4 minutes that they wasn't accepting that they was going to lose. They kept fighting and fighting all the way to the end. And I would like to thank Coach. I saw something in his eyes that I'm ready for next year. As they was bringing out them stages, Coach was looking at them stages, and he saw steam coming out of his eyes. I mean, out of his eyes. His eyes was bloodshot red, looking at them stages coming out on the field while they had to wait. And I want to be ready for everybody to tighten up. Let's be ready for next year. Let's go, Titans.
Thank you, Derek.
Such a long wait now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this just on the flight back. A little bit of depression hit in. We'll be in Miami next week for the Super Bowl, so it's not that depressing. We go there every year. But I'm thinking, man, after 2 weeks from now, it is a long, cold, and then eventually hot wait for football season.
A tweet from Dan Walker who asks us, which coaches do you think Vrabel should keep / let go? Any that could be elevated here or elsewhere in the near future? I don't think there's any cause for changes on the staff based on how things played out here. The one thing that could happen Kerry Combs has been long rumored to be the choice for defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Kevin Byard talked about that last night. I tweeted out his answer to my question about that. If he were to go, then they would need a defensive backs coach, or, you know, maybe there's a scenario where Dean Pease, who's year to year now, if he decided to call it, then maybe if Combs was tempted to go back to Ohio State, if Vrabel could get a quick verdict from Pease, then he could offer Combs the defensive coordinator position here in order to entice him to stay. Either of those scenarios, you would need a new defensive backs coach here. Otherwise, I don't see cause, despite many of you calling for the heads of Arthur Smith, Keith Carter, and others early in the season. Nobody did a bad job on this.
Arthur Smith is getting some run as a possible head coach somewhere,
which he's not going to get. And there's nothing to be elevated to here unless Pease were to retire.
Some news for the Texans. Romeo Crennel is out as the defensive coordinator there.
Yeah.
Today in Houston.
A great tweet from Wade Phillips. He said, tough year for 73-year-old defensive coordinators.
Let's go next to Dwayne in Hartsville. Hey, Dwayne.
Oh, guys, I just wanted to call in and say congratulations to the Titans on a good year. But I think the caller that called about two callers ago about letting the foot off the gas, I think that represents half of the Titan fan base, because this time last week everybody was wanting Henry to get the ball. And that's what the Titans, that's what we count on, is Derrick Henry running the ball. So
right. How
can you honestly say that we let our foot off the brake? If he breaks one of those runs, it's the greatest call that we've made. So it kind of perturbed me as a fan just sitting and listening to that guy. It made me think the guy knew nothing about football, just been sitting around and listening to other guys call in and piggyback off of their calls. So you guys responded and took my reply. So just wanted to say good job for the Titans this year.
Well, we're getting a faction of fans who are angry that the Titans were conservative and let their foot off the gas. And then we got another section of fans who said they abandoned the run game and Derrick Henry too quickly, and they freaked out. And they started passing too much. So that's where we are today on that. The bottom line is this. The Chiefs are a better football team with a transcendent quarterback that did not make the critical error that let the Titans hang around.
That's it. That's how the Titans played the same type of game plan back in Week 10. And the difference was Mahomes first was not mobile. So I think that helps your defensive efforts in part, but he still put up 444 yards passing.
There are times
beyond that, though, Chad. It was, you know, that they had the fumble recovery, return for a touchdown. The Titans' offense was able to, you know, get the run game going, 188 yards rushing that afternoon, and Tannehill was leading drives at the end of the game. That just didn't happen. The special teams effort wasn't there either. I mean, they went for the punt blocks, they didn't get them, and they didn't hold the Chiefs to field goals.
We certainly want to talk about the Titans, obviously, today, and that side of this. And this isn't the sexiest way to approach it, but there are times in sports where it's really just all about the other team being better.
Yeah.
And to me, this is one of those times. The Titans didn't play bad in this game. They didn't have a big mistake and a big, you know, they didn't throw a pick six.
They didn't play great.
They didn't play great either, but they needed some things to happen. And part of that need was that the Chiefs were going to make some mistakes. That didn't happen. The better team won. It's really that simple. The Titans just aren't as good as the Chiefs.
We are halfway through our reaction show today. Reaction Monday, 615-737-1045. Back from Kansas City. And over the next couple of hours, let's just chat Titans. Titans Chiefs reaction to the AFC Championship game and much more coming. Midday 180, 1045 The Zone.